This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar.
So this is Radio Free Cybertron. We are, of course, the original Transformers Internet radio show for 21 long years now. Mikey. Over 700 episodes in 21 years. It's just staggering to think about. I try not to as much as I can. But, you know, we're out there. We're all over the place. We have a huge archive of shows to go back and listen to. I would recommend not listening to anything before 2009 and honestly probably not listening to anything before 2012 or so. You know, once we actually started really figuring out what we were doing here in the modern format, we have, you know, archive of all kinds of shows. Some are considered retired, like our Star Trek podcast, which we tried bringing it back, and we're still working on that, but there's been issues that we haven't been able to record in, like, 4 to 6 weeks. I can't even remember what now. Like, I know exactly what episode we're next gonna do. It's just a matter of, like, getting Hey Mickey and Ken to be able to, like, both be in the same place at the same time. I'm starting to wonder if they might secretly be the same person. But Don's trying to scream something through mute, but I have no idea because, like, he's on mute.
Darmok.
No, the next one's going to be a DS9 episode. But you can't really complain about that. You better not complain about that, Don. I will turn this call around right now. Maybe I should turn it around. It's not going off to the best start here. For our live audience, we always interact most on our Discord channel, which is at tfradio.net/discord. That's the only place I'm watching chat tonight. When Kilby's here, he usually tries to take a look at the YouTube chat, but like I just can't be bothered. The fewer things I have running simultaneously here, the better my performance for the call is. So, and half the time I do a really bad job of monitoring the Discord, too. So your mileage may vary. But tfradio.net/discord. You don't have to install anything. Just sign up for a username and join the fun. It's there all week long. And, like, a lot of nights we get into some interesting conversations. It's actually a pretty cool hangout. Pretty chill, sedate, relaxed. Very, very mellow energy in there most of the time. I'm pretty satisfied with the group of people we have. Of course, we have... let's see, for Patreon, our Patreon supporters get exclusive content, including the This Week in History podcast, History on the Fives. I don't know what the current recording status of that is. That's all stuff that lives in Kilby's head, not mine. But we have recently been inviting some of our patrons to come and participate in the recording of that with us, and Kilby has been really pleased with how that's turned out. So if you're interested in taking part in that, you can... become a patron at the Touch tier and find out more about that next week when Kilby's here, because that's something he organizes and I don't. So I don't have all the pertinent information on hand. There's just basically two requirements though, which is to have a decent microphone and a decent internet connection, and you know, we'll work on the rest from there. I'll also go ahead and plug again Rob Springer's zone-based podcast, Transform Squadron Episode 27, the Christmas special, All I Want for Christmas is Doom. That came out last week, so go check that out. And apart from that, I think that's all the preamble stuff I need to get through. So let's jump into news because, you know, for the next little while here, we're doing a little bit of a format shift where we are putting the news at the start of the show and wrapping up with what we got this week. So those of you who are interested in the little bit of news content we have every week should be very pleased. They don't have to sit through an hour of us talking about our new toys. As for those of you who want to sit through an hour of us talking about our new toys, give us 15 minutes and we'll be there. First up in the news this week, we have first pictures and official announcement of Red Collection Bumblebee and Starscream figures. I can tell you for sure right off, I don't like the Starscream.
No. I saw it discussed online, and I tend to agree that the second series of red figures here really seems like it's kind of departing from what they were doing with the first one. Definitely getting some non-show details in here on Bumblebee and Starscream. I have no idea what they think they're doing with Bumblebee in particular.
Okay, so like the black insides of Bumblebee's feet, I can kind of understand if they're interpreting the yellow as just being like car shell around robot limbs.
Mm-hmm.
That part sort of makes sense. It's the interior of the forearms that's really getting me. What do you got, Rob?
What I got is, look at the fact that his chest is a separate piece. Look at the fact that he's wearing the outsides of his shoes like slippers. This mold is going to be Cliff Jumper.
Oh, okay. The one thing that doesn't explain, though, is the black insides of the arms.
Yeah, that I got nothing for, but the rest of it just looking at it again now, yeah, the way it's constructed would make it just very easy to just turn into a Cliff Jumper and be able to reuse most of the existing structure.
Yeah, I see what you're talking about here. Because Bumblebee still has like more of a rounded torso design than Cliff Jumper, so they couldn't really reasonably just reuse that same roof piece. So yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't think of that before.
Yeah, you've just solved like 70% of the weirdness of this, and that just leaves the forearm thing.
Yeah.
Now, what this does not solve is why Bumblebee's face looks like that.
Yeah.
Also, apologies to our live audience. Without Kilby here to do live producing for us, we can't run pictures on the stream or anything. But you can go to tfradio.net/news and follow along with at least some of the things we're going to be talking about in the show notes tonight. Yeah, that face is just... I don't know what's going on with that face.
Yeah.
I kind of wish it had MP45's face.
That's scary.
I know, right? So is the face.
I wish that Red would stick to a singular idea, like you guys say. The most frustrating thing with it is that you don't know what it's going for from one character to the next. Like, obviously, like, I really like Prime RC. Like, this is like a good place for her, because you're never going to get that robot mode really out of like current constraints, and there's really no place for her. And even if they redo her, they'll G1ify her, they'll do something to her. You know, you're not going to get this anywhere else. So that makes sense. And even to a lesser degree, Cheetor maybe, like, but that's like, that is like a philosophy of like, we're going to do robot modes that are really hard or not feasible or just have no place in the transforming toy line. And then on the other hand, you're getting your usual Megatron, Optimus Prime, Starscream, for better or worse, a very questionable sound wave. But it's all like, you know, they're all like sitting kind of next to each other trying to do different things. And it's just weird. And I guarantee you at least a few kids this Christmas are going to get a Red toy from grandma, and she will swear it's a transforming toy and she won't know the difference. But, it's even extra weird seeing them sit next to actual transforming toys being roughly the scale, kind of a tweener scale of like Deluxe and Voyager, and having the brand Transformers slapped on them and not looking that different from a transforming robot. It's just a weird, weird thing. So
I wonder if
need a lozenge, Don? Okay, Don's gonna cough for a second. Fortunately, he remembered to mute first. Good radio instincts there, Don.
Pro. Very grateful.
Sorry.
Good, Don, you muted.
I don't want Red.
Do you want green?
Never mind. We've talked about how we want Red to do a lot of these figures eventually, even if they have to slip them in one every now and then. Characters that either didn't transform, like say Alpha Trion, or characters that you know whatever the case may be. I don't want this to be another Power Core Combiner in which one part of Hasbro has it, another part knows about it, no one knows what to do with it. Because that's kind of, we've talked about when Power Core Combiners came out, it's an interesting concept, but there was hardly any marketing, there was no fiction. We didn't know what they were shooting for and how this fit in, other than here's new product, do something with it. And it was like, okay. And that was it. It was, and it's like, we have it. We know we make it. What now? And I don't want Red to end up like that.
I have to admit on the subject of Power Core Combiners, those things were confusing, but also to me refreshing. just the fact that there was nothing about them but the toys. There was nothing else to worry about, and they were really, right, you know, fun little toys to go with that.
But I
saw Aaron Archer once on Twitter, in fact, posted a picture of like a Dollar Tree ninja toy or something, say ideally he would love to just work on that, just the coolest toy he can make in a given budget, no story, no anything else, just, you know, pure toy. And I have a feeling that Power Core Combiners is probably as close as you get to that.
And, you know, well, like, so Power Core Combiners is sad because probably the lesson Hasbro took away from that is that experimental lines don't work.
Yeah.
As opposed to that, lines with no, like, support mechanism are what don't work. But Power Core Combiners, for the kind of things you're talking about with it, really was a great callback to the mid to late 90s with Beast Wars, where 70% of the toy line each year was, the most it had was a paragraph on the back of the packaging to tell you anything about that toy. Otherwise, it was just a cool toy, maybe. Beast Wars had hits and misses, but, you know, non-show Beast Wars toys were some really fun stuff, which I regret not getting interested in, like, earlier in the process, but, like, going back and picking some of that stuff up after the fact, like, it's really cool experimental stuff in the same vein as Power Core Combiners, and, like, Red is another experimental line, but it is nothing like what any of that was, and that's truly the tragedy here, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
'Cause, I mean, we got Grimstone and Steamhammer, which was the end of the line figures, and like we've always talked about, how Aaron Archer said, first wave you get going, second wave you get better, third wave is great, fourth wave you're canceled. So I mean, you know, I just don't want Red to be. I don't like that Bumblebee, and I'm like Rob. I do. I like y'all. I do not like the Star. I've never liked Starscream when he gets all the coronation crap. It's like I can.
Well, I mean, we can set the coronation gear aside for the moment here, and just, like, the base Starscream design feels like it's very dream wavy. It looks a lot to me like the Revoltech Starscream from way back.
Yeah.
Which was very, very Dreamwave inspired, just like the Revoltech Optimus and Magnus. And, you know, great if you like that particular interpretation of Starscream's design, but, like, there is so much more, I don't even want to use the word better here, but more, like, traditional or classic takes on Starscream to use for a line like this. It doesn't really make any sense to go to that well in particular for this figure.
Yeah, I think one of the things that was most bothersome about Dreamwave in general is that particular approach to the G1 characters was practically the official approach for a good long time. And I'm glad we're getting back away from that, but you know, hopefully this Starscream is kind of an outlier, because I've had my fill of that. I kind of like the style of what we're getting at the moment in the toy line, and I will the main toy line, and I will be fine with that in general.
The last thing I want to add here is just kind of tangential to it. It's kind of fitting that one of the Dreamwave miniseries was called The Dark Ages, because in a lot of ways for Transformers, it certainly became that.
Yeah. And the one thing from this news story that I want to add is when Hasbro posted this to their social media, they also shared that Combiner Wars Devastator is getting a reissue. I believe it's out near the end of January 2021 for the original retail price of $150.
Yeah, so getting the price to stay at that point is remarkable in itself, especially since the Titans have creeped up $10 or $15 since then.
Yeah.
So that went up for pre-order on Hasbro Pulse. It's supposedly also going to be carried on Amazon, although I checked before showtime tonight and there was still not an active listing with the current pre-order price. So your mileage is going to vary on that. Hopefully that'll be something we'll be able to track down and get an affiliate link for here in the near future.
Yeah.
Do you think the simplicity of the Constructor Cons compared to overall what came later with the Titans, even though the size is there, the individual figures being less, you know, less complex than what we would might get nowadays, it has something to do with the price being able to, the margins were there, they could still do it at that original price?
I think because they're running it as an exclusive, the margins don't need to run the same way they would for like a brand new product. So since this is already something that has been tooled up and it's been released by Hasbro once already at retail, Takara at retail, it's been released as convention exclusives on both sides of the Pacific, you know, it's gotten its uses, its primary uses out of the way. So there's probably a little bit more leeway there. And running it through Hasbro Pulse, they can kind of name their terms more than they can with some of the other retailers. And Amazon is probably a little bit more willing to be flexible on, you know, what their margin is going to be on it too. Especially for the overall volume of Transformers exclusives they've been getting. Like, you know, if you look at it as one big unit, they can probably make it average out.
Yeah, I just hope we at some point get G2 versions. We've been saying that since day one, where it's a ready-made exclusive for somebody, and it's like, give us an orange and yellow Devastator. And it's like,
unfortunately, we only get one of those two, and I'm pretty sure it ended up being yellow.
Tragically so.
So Jared is hoping that it will be the original slash Unite Warriors mold for Devastator. So we are, like, the stock photos that they released with this announcement are just the normal Hasbro version of Devastator. So unfortunately, we already know based on that it's not going to be the Unite Warriors revision. If they did that, it probably would end up having to cost more than $150 because there's more parts in accessories and in the number of parts per figure for the extra joints they added.
Yeah.
The good thing is, though, with this figure getting reissued, you might see the third-party people issuing at least guns and a few other things since this is being reissued. So you can at least add some guns to add a little bit, even if you don't have the extra elbows that Takara gave you for free.
And don't forget a shoe for that. Left foot. He needs a shoe badly.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's a great design. But
shoe. I imagine John saying that in the Gauntlet voice. Left foot needs shoe badly.
You know? Well,
like a Gauntlet voice.
He has a strangely small, you know, left foot. What am I going to say? Needs a shoe. Needs a sock. And there were multiple third party kits out there that were sold just because they had a shoe. They had other stuff, but
I could maybe see like Perfect Effect maybe doing a limited reissue of the stuff they already had tooled up for Devastator the first time. I don't think we would see any new kits developed for this because there's probably not going to be that much quantity of Devastators going out there to actually support add-on stuff, but you know, a small run of the same stuff that somebody already has put together. I also think maybe like some Shockwave Lab kind of stuff, the semi-mass 3D printed stuff that we see turn up on eBay for a lot of stuff now is also a possibility.
That's a good idea. I bet we definitely see that, because that way you can just buy the foot, right? You can just buy the sock. So.
Well, in this case, you'd probably end up buying the slipper with some like completely unnecessary LED package that's adding $15 or $20 to the price.
Yes. Ooh. Or fillers. That's what everybody likes now. The filler kits where you fill all the, crevices in a toy. I can't even think of, like, I guess I'll have to go back and look at Devastator. He doesn't seem like a particularly hollow toy, but I'm sure the 3D printers can find some holes to plug. You know?
My Devastator's been in Devastator form for a long time, so I don't remember how the individuals were in terms of having open spaces.
Well, see, now, Chris, you can buy a new set and then have all six Constructicons and Devastator. So you can reenact Season 3. Set them standing side by side.
See, the thing is, though, if I was going to have a set to have as the individual Constructicons, I would want to get the Unite Warriors one because that's the better individual toys. You know, getting another run of the Hasbro version of the molds just seems pointless.
Did you guys mention the egregious crime here is that he's green?
Well, yeah, Don was saying we want G2 colors.
Yes, we. Yes.
Yes.
And I know several people that want the original Diaclone colors, which I would have to think that would be a really good e-hobby set for Japan.
It'd be Takara Tomy Mall these days. Like e-hobby doesn't really e-hobby's not really a thing in that realm anymore.
Okay.
But like if you think back to what they had to do to make Grand Maximus happen, like any Titan recolor would have to go through the same kind of process, which is why we don't really see Titan recolors happen. And my suspicion would be before Takara Tomy Mall or E-Hobby or any outfit like that would try to do a G2 Devastator, they would be going after that Black Zarek money.
Mm.
Which, I mean, totally hit me up with that. I'm you know, I'll sell a kidney.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's like,
as long as the build is all paint and not plastic. That's the one condition here.
Yeah, I think that's probably the one like limited run Titan class figure I would actually spend the money for. I would try and get a Black Zarek.
And then, Chris, it would be all clear plastic painted whatever color you wanted. So therefore, it'd be like monkey's ball. I'm just pointing out the monkey paw-ness there.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. But yeah, I mean, I think we would all agree, you know, Black Zarek would be our number one choice for a limited Titan recolor just because we have Black Rurichi already. We need to finish the set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and really, there's no way to purchase a Black Zarek, original Black Zarek now because it's Schrodinger's toy. It may be in one piece. It may not be in one piece. You'll never know because if you open the box, it'll fall apart.
Yeah, I so wouldn't it's purchase not, it, a vintage Black Zarek. Money or not, I wouldn't do it.
No.
Yeah.
No,
so, I mean, that's, well, see, you know, that's why I would never come off the money lately for Minerva because that white plastic, well, in a completely dark closet covered with a sheet, it will still age, you know, it'll still age yellow. So there's that.
Just the exposure to oxygen over time will do that. It's not even like the light is not the only factor in that.
Right. But I mean, yeah, I would really want to see a black, I mean, I would come off the money for a Black Zarek repaint just to finally have a Black Zarek in the collection.
What I want to see, I don't want to be the person who does this, but I want to see the collector who is so focused on preserving one of these vintage toys that they like set up an airtight chamber in their collection room and you know, pump all the oxygen out so the toy does not have exposure to oxygen and replace it with nitrogen like they do with potato chips and meat, just to make sure no oxygen gets in contact with that toy to remove one of those pads of the discoloration. Like, I want to see someone go that extreme on their vintage Transformers toys just to preserve them in their original state as best as possible. But again, not it. So also this week on tfradio.net/news, we have stock photos now for Cyberverse Deluxe Prowl and Soundwave. Last week we had stock photos for the Starscream from this assortment, but we just had the low resolution, probably, you know, hot sample from the factory images of the other toys. So we've got a much better look now at the rest of the trio. And they look, well, they look a little better than Starscream, to be honest. That Starscream didn't look great. My favorite thing this week, though, was when these photos came out, like, just realizing, you know, this Prowl looks a little bit like the Spy Changer Prowl 2 from Original Robots in Disguise. A sentiment that a lot of people seem to share once I pointed it out, because that's been one of my most popular tweets in a while. I also got a lot of responses from that of, well, damn it, I'm going to have to buy this now. So it's good to see that the love for 2001 Robots in Disguise and Spy Changers in general is still going strong. So, again, this wave of figures does not have build-a-figure parts, so there's a little bit more in terms of, like, direct accessories for the figures. So Prowl has two blast effects and a Dotson rifle. And Soundwave does have a transforming little laser beak partner that can fit into the chest compartment. Shoulder cannon and one blast effect, which looks more like a weird kind of stamp, but, you know, what are you going to do? Of the two, like, I honestly think I might pick Prowl up. Yeah. And Starscream. Prowl actually looks like it might be a decent toy on its own merits, and Starscream I mostly just want for that missile launch blast effect.
Yeah.
These are the kind of problems I have as a collector.
Hmm.
Surprisingly enough, though, these are already being found in stores.
That was quick.
Yeah, so there's one sighting from Streamwood, Illinois, from Optimus997, who posted a TFW about this. And then Ness actually said later the same day that he had seen some at whatever place in Virginia he was finding me a Soundwave.
Nice.
So these are out in the distribution chain already. So, like, the time of year it is and, you know, the state of the world, I would not, like, ever advocate for going and doing casual toy hunting, but, like, it's probably worth swinging past the Transformers on your next essential shopping trip, because these might be there if there's something you're interested in. But again, you can see the stock photos for these in the RFC News article at tfradio.net/news. It'll also be linked in the show notes if you're listening to the podcast version. You can find the show notes at tfradio.net/705. That's not up right now, but it will be by the time the podcast version of this goes out. If you're in the live audience, you just have to go and dig it out of the news archive. Let's see, what else do we got here? So the next couple things we don't have news posts for. So this one, Jacob in the Discord clued me into earlier today. So remember how there was going to be a Transformers MMO like three or four times over the last decade or so? Apparently one is still coming out.
What's coming out? It is coming out?
Apparently. They still think it is anyway.
Yeah, apparently there's now a Chinese developer tilting at that particular windmill. So,
which I think they have been for a few years, and this recent thing. So this developer, I think, was acquired by Tencent.
Yeah.
And as part of that, they had to disclose all of their current projects, and this was still in their list of current projects, and actually has a release slate of late 2021.
Oh, we'll see. G1.
Well, the picture in the article is of a movie bumblebee, but you know how these websites be. At this point, like, they could probably pretty easily just like change up all the skins to make it G1 or movie or whatever. Authentics, anything like that, based on whatever the licensing requirements happen to be at the time. It's just really more surprising that this is still a thing that's happening, because like the original attempt at this was in like 2011 or so, and at BotCon 2012, infamously, as Kilby is wont to retell the story, you could go and sign up in advance to reserve your character name, and we ended up reserving several names to just be assholes steal them out from under people.
Yes, I had new Soundwave.
I had a variety of things that we won't go into in specific.
No. we're having fun now. Did it say what platforms this was going to be on?
I did a little, not in this article, but I did a little bit more digging, and it sounds like it's supposed to be on, major console platforms and PC. Assuming that it does actually materialize by the end of 2021, as this claims it will.
And the other question is if it's ever actually released outside of China.
Well, yeah, see, that was my stopping point on this initially, because when Jacob shared this in the Discord, I was thinking that this was just one of the projects that was being worked on specifically for China. But Jacob thinks, and the subsequent research I was doing seems to support that this is, it's a Chinese developer, but the plan is for like general release of this if and when it actually gets finished. But yeah, so the history of Transformers MMOs or, similar style games goes back a long way. And so far, I don't think there's been a single one that's gotten out of the beta stage, if it even made it that far. That one that was related to the BotCon 2012 story is probably the most infamous, though, because like that went through like two format changes, and they started selling like expensive founders packages and stuff for premium game content before the game, I think, even actually went into beta status. It went into beta and stayed there for a few months, and then they decided to shut the whole thing down and had to refund all those founders packages they sold. As I recall, Peter Van, who was with us at the time, might have gone on a bit of a tear about that whole mess.
Yeah.
So that's definitely something to go sometimes and dig out of the archive, because I think that was around 2014 when that all went down. That sounds about right anyway.
Yeah. Listen to a new Soundwave while you're at it, while you're digging in the archives.
Or better yet, watch a new Soundwave.
No. I'm pretty sure watching a new Soundwave from that era is copyright infringement. So just the act might get action.
But it was such a well-produced visual show. Like, you put a lot of work into that, and it looks super cool.
Thanks. Yes. It's a shame the internet's not quite the Wild West it was, but it was fun at the time.
So the last thing is a little bit of an odd one here. I'm resharing the link in the Discord for the people in our live audience, tfradio.net/discord once again. So there's going to be a Grimlock Tiki mug that you can buy, but it's some kind of weird boutique-y product, kind of. So this is being made by Mondo, and apparently these are all going to be handmade to order.
Oh, wow.
I suspect in function what that means is that they're probably all going to be hand-painted.
Seems likely.
But still unique, then, I guess, technically.
Yeah, yeah. Like, no two are going to be exactly identical because of that. So, you know, if you're, like, super completist on your tiki mugs, take out the loan.
Oh, God. All right.
So let's play guess the price point here, if you haven't found it in the article already. How much do you think a Grimlock tiki mug with hand painting will cost?
This will be a lot more fun if you're playing the range game from Price is Right.
Okay, we'll see. Who
can
who
get
wins.
The closest without going over? How about that?
I read the article, so I know. And it's like,
yeah, I did too.
Oh, boo. I'm going to guess. I'm going to guess like $199.
Well, John, you've gone over.
No.
But probably not by as much as you think. No, the price on these is $60 each.
Oh, okay. A bargain.
Well,
I'll
compared
take three.
To your number, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, here's the one thing I like. So, according to Wikipedia, not the TF Wiki, Wikipedia. So, tiki mugs are large ceramic cocktail drinking vessels that originated in tiki bars and tropical themed restaurants. When used to serve drinks, they are frequently garnished with fruit or decorative drink umbrellas and swizzle sticks. So, based on the design, does it look like Grimlock will accommodate drink umbrellas and swizzle sticks? Perhaps a fruit garnish? Is he a legit tiki mug?
Like, I don't even think this would be good to drink out of.
I mean, again, for $60, like, you know, I'm getting the whole set. I want the rest of the Dinobots, and I'm going to, you know, partake of a beverage from poor Grimlock's noggin.
Well, I suppose this attitude makes sense from someone who does, you know, collect NECA.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a mitten box collector. I gotta open it. I gotta as if I'm gonna play with the toy, then the equivalent is drinking from this tiki mug. Like, I gotta use it.
No, just like looking at the shape of it and the opening on top, I don't know how you would effectively drink out of this.
Okay, so this is a $60 scam.
Yeah, kinda.
It's not a functioning tiki mug.
I mean, they say it will hold 18 ounces of liquid. So, like, presumably it is on some level, you know, fluid tight. But apart from that,
I think you're going to need a straw.
Yeah, probably so.
Cool.
I mean, so this does seem consistent with most novelty tiki mugs I've seen, which look entirely impractical as vessels to consume a fluid from. So at least they got that part of it right. But yes, this is where we're at with Transformers as a property. Now we have novelty tiki mugs.
Yes, as an IP company.
Yeah, you know, I look at that, and the first thing I think of is that is the sorriest looking Chia Pet I have ever seen.
It's funny you should say that, Don. It's funny you should say that because when this was originally shared with us in the Discord today. The first thing I said was, I don't think I like what Transformers is anymore. And then my next response was, wait, where's my Optimus Prime Chia Pet?
Well, they do have a Weird Al Chia Pet now, so that's not...
Oh, remember they had Sophia as a Chia Pet, too.
Yes, yes. Actually, I had a friend of mine ask me to try to find one for him last Christmas, but I couldn't find one. He wanted to give it to his wife, and he was having trouble finding one.
But, like, there's, you know, the range of Chia Pets is remarkably vast and, you know, touches things you would never expect. Like, there's a Predator Chia Pet.
Like, you know, I would like to meet a Chia Pet collector just to see... What, I mean, do you like grow them and then not grow them? Is like mint in box versus display if you don't grow them? Or, you know, is like mint in box, like literally mint in box? Or is it like, you know, and how would you grade a Chia Pet? You know, like a, you know, AFA graded Chia Pet holder, you know?
Yes. Or has the has the plant in the Chia Pet changed over time? Like, have they genetically... optimized whatever the heck is growing out of a Chia Pet.
Well, presumably it's chia.
Well, but is it like, you know, natural?
I always saw it one time. It was a Chia Pet that grew grass for cats and animals to eat, which is generally your oats. So I don't know. If you're a Chia Pet collector and you're watching our show for some reason for this, you know, tiki content, let us know what your collection is like. I would like to know what a Chia Pet collection looks like.
Yeah.
Boy, that Venn diagram, Don. considering like all the times over the years we've appealed to people to reach out to us if they were like high-end Transformers statue collectors, and we've never heard anything back from that. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They
Tiki mugs, though.
Yeah, Tiki mugs. Yeah, it's, I mean, you know, Hasbro's looking at all the revenue sources, and I'm sure licensing fees are a significant part of their bottom line.
Yes, I mean, you know, if Mondo comes knocking at their door offering to write them a check, like, you know, who are they to say no?
I will say, when I Googled Chia Pet, one of the top search results was, can you eat the plants from a Chia Pet?
And what did they say?
The answer is, yes, you can eat chia seeds. We advise you not to eat the seeds from the Chia Pet. You can go to the grocery store and buy chia seeds in a more edible form. But yeah, please don't eat your ceramic toy seeds.
Well, now, in the chat, Jared said Megatron could be a decent Chia Pet. I'm now picturing the chias coming out of his gun. It just sort of grows like, you know, literally flower power, I guess.
And see, so like going back to the Tiki mug thing, like instead of using this as a mug, like it would make not a terrible like little flower planter.
Yeah.
Or maybe like a succulent, because you don't have to worry about the, like, you only have to water it occasionally, you don't have to worry about the soil drainage.
Hmm.
But yeah, like, in general, I think Tiki mugs have all kinds of applications other than drinking things out of them that they're, you know, better for by default. Get a big enough Tiki mug and you can use it as an umbrella holder.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool. Like, but your umbrellas have to look like those novelty umbrellas.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
from your actual cocktail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you can tell the news today is a little on the thin side.
A little bit.
As it should be.
Yeah, because we're like in and this is a sad thing. Imagine what post-Christmas is going to be like. Because stuff that's supposed to hit after first of the year is hitting now. And so it's like, you know, we're all going to have to dive into our backlogs for stuff to do. Because there'll be nothing for a while.
But what you're failing to take into account, Don, is that after Christmas, we have a lot of built-in content with all the stuff we got.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it'll be time for our end-of-year show, which is also a bunch of fluff content.
How dare you?
And then the week after that, it'll be our prediction show, which is yet more fluff content. So we're set for at least 3 weeks of not having to have any real content for the show.
Right. And if we wanted to jump on the if we want to jump on the podcast bandwagon, which I'm surprised we haven't done now by this point, there's always like top 10 best, top 10 worst, top 10 most disappointed. I mean, everyone does a top 10 list of something at the end of the year. So I'm sure we could get 3 more weeks of top 10s.
Top 10 Chia Pets.
Like, we don't, it's not a top 10, but we kind of do that with the end of year show where we, you know, we pick our best and worst, you know, like Brian calls it, our superlatives for the year. So it's kind of like that, just in a more brief form. If you would think about like doing a focused top 10 list and all of us, you know, having a comment on each of the 10 things, we would be here for several hours, especially once all that started. Okay, so that does do it for what we will generously call the news this week, as Don points out. So it is time now for what we got. And I guess I will go first because Matt isn't here. So, like, until I found out Matt was not going to be here, I was going to have him go first because I'm pretty sure he got this week, too. Some of us have a G2 Sandstorm from Generation Selects.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't really expecting to get this as my third Conehead. I kind of figured that would be Thrust, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
So I have the classic trio now of Dirge, Ramjet, and Sandstorm. Transformers is a strange place sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, I'll be honest, though, I still don't know whether I would have wanted that or I wanted an actual G2 Ramjet.
Good news, Don. G2 Ramjet is on rumor for Selects in 2021.
I did not know that. Thank you for letting me know. I did not know that.
So the dilemma is solved for you, I guess. So G2 Sandstorm is based on an unused concept toy from G2, because like between pieces of packaging art that went nowhere and some actual like hand repainted toys, there was a lot of stuff that they were just kind of throwing at the wall for G2 to try to expand the product offerings, probably specifically in product year 1993 when they were just recycling as many G1 molds as they had that were viable still. So one of those was a desert-themed redeco of Ramjet. And here we are, almost 30 years later, and it now exists as a toy on a modern mold, and it's actually pretty nice. The colors are, tan and brown and just, a little bit drab, but, it's what it's supposed to be. On the back, they did put some deco on there to kind of, suggest desert camo colors. And, it's on the back and the wings. The only place it's not painted that way is the back of the legs. So when it's in jet mode, there is kind of what I would call a bald patch back here. But for the most part, the effect is really nice. I got a pretty good QC sample on this one. So all the joints feel good. There's no glaring or obvious paint errors on it. And just overall, I'm really satisfied with this, and I'm glad to have it. More seekers, more power. Hopefully Matt got his and is also enjoying it. Hopefully we'll hear about that next week at least, when he has not been having to fight with several feet of snowfall for hours today. One novelty with this too is the robot's face is black, which I only really point out because it's kind of rare to get a Transformer face that is not silver or sometimes white. And especially a really dark colored face like this tends to stand out. And it's a good contrast with the general light tones of the body. It looks really nice. It feels really nice. I think these are now shipping from Hasbro Pulse. And I think I heard one person say that Big Bad Toy Store was starting to fulfill pre-orders for these too. So
that person was me, and I can confirm this. Yes.
Oh, sorry. You know how it is before showtime.
I understand. No worries.
But this should be getting into the hands of more people soon. And hopefully everybody else is as pleased with this as I am, because it's a cool thing to have. Other cool things to have. Thanks to John for the lovely Christmas gift of a Netflix Bumblebee.
Nice.
So I have this one in Skeeby mode with all the attachments on.
Mm.
The Volkswagen mode is very much you can just tell looking at this that the licensing requirements were very strict, because it's got all of the details. The hubcaps have the little Volkswagen emblems on them. It's got on the hood. The shapes are all pretty much perfect. The proportions, is a really, really good, I don't want to say scale model, but a really nice little miniature of a Volkswagen Beetle in a way that Bumblebee never actually ever was. But, it's a really cool thing to have. The paint on this is interesting to me because, the base color is yellow, but all of the exterior car panels seem to have a thin coat of, it's not gold as such, but it's a slightly darker yellow that's a little bit sparkly. It's completely unnecessary, but it ties all the different vehicle panels together. It's also made a little bit more thoughtfully than, the Cliff Jumper or hubcap uses, because, they're more, judicious in how they've applied the paint to parts that rub together. The shoulder blocks don't have any paint on them, for instance, so that's not going to, get destroyed the first time you transform it. Even though the surfaces are painted anyway, the car roof is a separate piece from the windshield. The edges are clean around that. All the quality control on this for the deco is really, really good. It's probably the best use of this mold that I've got out of, this makes four, actually. Just for overall general quality purposes, if you're only going to get one of this mold family, try to get the Netflix Bumblebee. It's the most unique, obviously, and it seems to be the one that's the best executed overall. Of course, it's also the one that's hard to find and seems to be being scalped, much like the NECA stuff John was talking about at the end of pre-show. Let's see. I also was able to get... I shouldn't say able to get, because it makes it seem like I was seeking it out. I ended up getting a Red Collection figure, Megatron specifically, because I actually have the packaging on hand here to show. This is what the box looked like. So they marked it down to $11. This thing is crunchy. So this got marked down to about $11, and I figured, what the heck, for $11 I'll pick one up and see what it's about. I am not buying another Red figure. I might try one of the Beast Wars ones. But this is Well, Brian was talking about this a couple of weeks ago, and pretty much everything he said, I tend to agree with. Like, there's no spirit to this, and a lot of it does remind me of Mega SCF figures from, like, 15-plus years ago. The jointing is kind of weird. So the shoulder, there's only one, like, shoulder hinge, and it's set into the torso. So it's kind of the same problem that Studio Series Hot Rod has, where if you want to have the arm pointed forward but have it at an angle, you have to, like, do some unnatural-looking contortions with the arm. You can't have it at, like, I don't even know how to describe this exactly, but, like, for the way I think the arm should naturally pose, you would need to have the outward joint actually be in the arm half of it. And not going into the torso, or you need to have it be double jointed so it can do it on both ends. The fusion cannon does not come off, or if it does, it is requiring more force than I'm comfortable exerting on this. I think it's glued on, which, I mean, it's not like the worst thing for that to be a permanent attachment, but, you know, Megatron's fusion cannon was taken off here and there in the cartoon, so it would have been a nice attention to detail to have that be able to do that too. One credit I will give this, the face sculpt is actually it's better than I expected it to be in person, and I cannot get the camera to... Oh, there it goes. It's better than I expected it to be in person, but it really needs, like, a light gray wash or something to accentuate the sharp edges and bring out some of that detail, because otherwise it just looks kind of plain and flat, which it shouldn't. The elbows are just single joints. It has the weirdest... thing I found interesting was the mid-torso joint ratchets for no discernible reason except that it just ratchets. And the hip joints are kind of impeded by the shape of the pelvis armor, so that's about as far as the legs can go forward. It's a very mixed bag, and for the most part, it's not that great. Like we were kind of talking about with the news topic earlier, like, I think Beast Wars or even Transformers Prime characters will probably feel better in terms of execution just because they are a more dynamic kind of design than G1 characters, which were, you know, piles of boxes that nobody gave any thought to how they would actually move in real life.
Plus with the Beast Wars stuff and stuff after that, they've got the wireframe models to go by, so you actually have probably a better design to even to start with versus trying to look at a 2D cartoon figure and making it in three dimensions.
Yeah, there's probably a little bit of that too. But yeah, I think, like, stuff from more recent design generations will probably work better in the Red Collection. So, like, I'm still going to at least get Cheetor when that comes out and, you know, hope that that kind of proves what I'm thinking. But, you know, just based on this, I am not really feeling Red Collection, and I'm glad I only spent $11 to experimentally test my theory on one. Let's see, one more thing before I go to off topic, and this kind of leads in anyway because it's time for more gifts from the Amazon wish list. So, tfradio.net/chrislist, by the way. So, Rob was nice enough to send me the third volume of Transformers the Manga Collection. So this is the volume that covers from Victory Zone and then Battlestars through Operation Combination. So I actually did read through the Return of Convoy, Battlestars, etc. The first day I got this in, and it was really fun to be able to read through all that story page content and actually, like, you know, read the captions and stuff with it, because, like, it's stuff where there's scans of the pages that are easy enough to find from the original publication, but, you know, all there is, like, summarized content of what it's talking about, and to actually read the material directly is really cool to me, because it's something that's been out there for a long time and has just kind of felt inaccessible, even while it's right there in front of you. So thank you so much for that, Rob.
Oh, my pleasure.
Now, on the off-topic side... through various circumstances, I had some Amazon credit to blow. And so I decided to get the Gundam Universe Tall Geese, which was just released a couple of weeks ago. And I'm kind of dissatisfied. So Gundam Universe is the current Gundam action figure line, which is being distributed in the U.S. by Bluefin Brands. It's Tamashii Nation things. And it's being released pretty much simultaneously in the US and in Asia. And like from the first wave, I kind of knew that they were not getting the spirit of the stuff quite right. Like the one infamous example I've always cited is like they have Wing Gundam, but they couldn't make it transform, even though its transformation is literally turning the waist around and bending the knees.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought the Tall Geese being such a comparatively simple design, because like Gundam Wing's enemy mobile suit designs are pretty utilitarian in general and like not, you know, super ornamented or anything. So like very to the point and basic. I thought they couldn't possibly screw that up, but no, I was wrong. So like the Tall Geese's boosters, they don't open. So like they're always in this closed state. You can't actually like have the thrusters out and in use, which is like the most basic fundamental thing to screw up on this design. And beyond that, okay, so like it could get into like this whole extended thing about how the design works for the Tall Geese, but suffice to say, this figure is based on later revised line art that changes several aspects of the design, but it's decoed as if it was the original TV version of the Tall Geese, and it's wrong, and it kind of is missing out on some mobility and features because of that. So, like, basically every practical thing they could get wrong with this, they somehow did. So, yeah, I don't think I'm going to be going back to the Gundam universe well at any point. Because, like, the one thing I was willing to give them a chance on and thought they could get right, they didn't. So that's pretty much the end of that now. And I think, on that note, that's all I got this week. Don, you want to go next? Once you unmute?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Because I got a couple of things, but I want to talk about what we talked about last week, and that is Sinister's 86 Hot Rod.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I finally had some time to I had to call into work one day because with that pinched nerve in my back, and I couldn't sit down and tie my shoes. So that was a I-need-to-stay-home day because I couldn't move. Yeah. So I had some time to open up. I really think this Hot Rod is like Earthrise Optimus. I really don't see them needing to make another Hot Rod anytime soon. I do have a couple of very small issues. The shoulders are wonky. It's like they're constantly in. He's getting ready to do the Matrix pose, but he can't put his arms down all the way. So he's kind of like you know that scene where Wheeljack transforms for the first time, and he's kind of like this in the cartoon. And it's like how you kind of standing and he goes into the transformation pose. Hot Rod is like he's almost ready to start transforming, but he never can quite put his arms down. You still get a lot of dynamic poses. It's just I would love for those arms to be able to just because they do click down, but then he kind of just looks like he's like, you know, my collection when I first started standing straight up and down, no dynamic, no movement, just like that. So it does stay down, but it kind of wants to pop up here. So again, that's minor. I wish he was a hair bit bigger for a little more clearance, especially on the arm rotation. And again, nothing really collides, but like just a hair bit more space. But that is the closest I think we're ever going to get to seeing that transformation on Quintessa. But it really does work well. I think he's a great figure. And I'm like, Matt, I do like Scourge. I like him a lot. Not as good as Hot Rod because the directions are better on these, I think, than we've been having in the past. But one, that's not saying much. And two, it really isn't clear, like with Scourge, the inner collar comes out of his neck to cover his face in spaceboat mode. But it's really stuck in there, and you can't really quite tell what's supposed to be moving on that long hinge.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you know, it has to move somehow, because on the box you see his face is covered. So other than that, you know, I like Hot Rod. I like his accessories. I love the transformation. I love Scourge. Definitely worth paying a little extra to get him early for.
And only a very little extra. Yeah. Like we all ended up being very close to retail on these.
Right.
All said and done.
So definitely. So I got. So I think they're. I think he's excellent, and I don't see a need for another hot rod. And if they do a Rodimus, I hope he's given the mass to pull off something unique. That's not just, you know, G1 Rodimus, because he was way simple. Chris, I'm going to do my off-topic last. I got Sandstorm. Just got him today.
Oh, cool.
Yep, so I'm looking forward to opening him up, hopefully tomorrow. The colors work a lot better. The darker colors work a lot better on this than I thought it would, because the red eyes really pop against that black face.
Yeah.
And the clear canopy and the black for the hinges of the arms, the copperish, well, I don't know. Under this light, it looks kind of red. His knee pads, you know, like a copperish red maybe.
Yeah, so, no, the details on the knee pads are definitely just red.
Okay, all right. I couldn't quite tell in this light. But what highlights they are really stand out against that body. Mm-hmm. So those colors, I wish he was, you know, you know, I wish he was Thrust first, and then we would have got, you know. And but I mean, he looks a lot better now that I've got him in hand than what I was afraid of. So there's that. I also got my last on-topic thing. I got the most beautiful, gorgeous Megatron ever.
Congratulations.
Yes. This is absolutely. I had to explain to my girlfriend why. I had to explain to her why this figure's so awesome and why the 90s will never die, because this is the it's like Matt said, this is the only way they could have gotten me to buy this mold. If it was purple, maybe if it was purple, but with it being G2 Megatron, they got me to buy that Siege mold. So there's that.
Earthrise.
Thanks.
Earthrise mold.
Yeah, you really. You know,
that's cool that you had a double G2 week.
Yes, definitely. And my last off topic. Also I picked up. I don't know why, but I bought a Netflix Impactor. I have no idea why, but
I don't know why either.
Yes,
somebody had to.
Yes, and I'll be honest. It's that Impactor is a nice toy, and the Siege version does have some paint differences. Not a lot, but there's some there. It's just, I think it was the whole something new kind of thing. So there's that.
Yes, toy desperation. I know that.
Pretty much. What I got off topic is something I have been waiting for a very long time. And I would love to get the whole set, but I'm not. So I'm cherry picking. So I got Iron Studios Chitara.
Okay.
You know, it's from the same people that did the Dungeons and Dragons set. So I decided to pick her up, and I would love to get the whole Thundercats diorama, but these are a bit more pricey than the Dungeons and Dragons. The cool thing was I got this from a Speculative Fiction Shop. First time dealing with them. Very good customer service. The one downside was that this was still a pre-order. But the way the web page read, I thought it was in stock a little early. So I had to wait about 3 weeks for it to come in, because it could have been a pre-order and I just didn't. It just wasn't marked pre-order.
That was the speculative part, Don.
But I signed up for their newsletter, which got me $15 off. And then if you do a couple of other social media things, you earn some extra money towards your first time credit. So actually, I save about $30 doing that with her. So I'm really happy to get her. She's going to be, unfortunately, a figure of one. But, you know, there's that.
Hey, Matty. Yes. Hey,
buddy. Oh, no.
Yes. So unfortunately, I've been checking Target for Thrusts or anything at this point, which they have nothing at all. I mean, they had the buy two, get one free. They had the buy one, get one half off. Then they had the spend 50, get 10, spend 100, get 25 off. They had nothing. So, you know, unfortunately, that's all that I've got this week.
Well, you had some good ones. Rob, you want to go next?
Sure. I got a few things. Well, first up, thanks to you, I now have Earthrise Snapdragon. And that is a really nice figure. It is... it's so much better than Ape Face. Nothing.
Oh, isn't it though?
Yeah. Nothing wants to fall off. Nothing wants to, you know, nothing really argues. The only real thing I want to say is an issue with it for me sometimes is that there's so much play in the neck joint on the Titan Master that getting it plugged into the dragon's skull is kind of difficult at times, and getting the two fins on the arms to line up behind the eyes can be kind of tricky. But I really like that effect when it works though. So I will struggle with that when I have to. It's really nice. And there's just something really pleasant about the jet mode. I can't quite explain it, but it's just I like the design.
It's that it's not Eight Faces jet mode.
That too. But it's also just a really nice, like, smooth, sleek design. And it's just remarkably better at everything Ape Face tried to do, including having white plastic. So that is a really nice figure, and thank you, Chris. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I'm glad you liked it.
The Snapdragon has always made better use of the jet mode parts because, I guess, of his beast mode. Ape Face just never, even the G1 toy, it was a flying plank with wings. Just because the mass had nowhere to go in his other modes other than just looking like a monkey with a big butt. So, I mean, the mass couldn't go anywhere with the plastic. And even on the new one, because of the way he needs to look like Ape Face, you can't shunt the stuff anywhere to make him more streamlined or pose better. Snapdragon has always looked better because there's a place for stuff to go. But they look really good together, just not to play with Ape Face.
Yeah, it's kind of sad that the best Ape Face is probably still the, like, inch and a half tall Titans Return one. But I really liked that little toy. That is probably my best Ape Face experience to date. That is a fun toy.
And then when I ended up with the Weird Wolf colored version of that from Legends.
Oh, nice.
Also, with Snapdragon, one thing I like is in the beast mode, the jointing works so that you can choose to pose it either as a classic Tyrannosaurus tail dragging or as a modern Tyrannosaurus with a straighter back, and like it still all looks natural. Like everything still lines up well because of how it articulates.
Oh, nice. I hadn't tried that.
I made Hey Mickey very mad one day posting a picture of a straight back Snapdragon. memories.
Yeah, but I also did somehow inexplicably end up with Netflix Soundwave shipped from Walmart. I'm not sure how it happened, but
I call hacks.
Yeah, I think the important thing is that I did not observe it happening until it was almost here. If I had seen the shipping notice when it first went out, this would have gotten sucked into some other dimension, and I never would have seen it.
Yeah, sort of like when I sent that when that Star Wars figure I saw on eBay went through your hometown and
got compressed by a black hole. Yeah,
yeah, it came back in a Black Series carded figure came back as a V.
Okay. Oh, that reminds me though. Amazon. That reminds me though. Amazon sent Snapdragon to me in a plastic bag with no padding. Amazingly, it was fine. But Soundwave. Soundwave is so much better than the Siege version. It is so obvious that this is always what they wanted to do with this tooling. It's not even funny. Kind of makes me feel like a sucker for even getting the Siege version, to be honest. Because between
how many times have we said that this year?
No. Yeah. Yeah. But Soundwave is probably, I think, the worst instance of that. Just because, yeah, it is. This is exactly everything I wanted in the first place, and everything I was, you know, merely okay with on Siege Soundwave because it was really, really close. It is pretty much not an issue anymore. It looks good. It turns into a cassette player with a, as people have said, kind of a messy back, but. Only slightly more so than the original figure. That just because of how the jointing could work with less articulation and less aesthetic concerns, you know, less having to match an animation model that did not exist at that time, means that it had a little bit more leeway for what this is. I think this is about the best G1 Soundwave I can imagine. It has pretty much everything I want out of that. It looks good in both modes. It's pretty nice. Ravage is still Ravage, and the infuriating thing about this Ravage is it has a series of new tampographs to bring it closer to the original, and the way the holes on the cassette are placed, there is no way to place that in Soundwave's compartment that it does not look wrong, because the holes are either too low or too high for an actual cassette to be in that position. They should be fairly close to the middle, maybe a little closer to the top than the bottom.
Right.
They are just definitely, you know, firmly planted in one hemisphere, regardless of what way you actually place it in things. But also, Ravage doesn't look any better as a cat, so if I'm going to have one of those out and about, it's going to be Laserbeak. And Laserbeak has a new head sculpt to match the G1 Earth mode toy, and it is very nice. And again, it is close enough to definitive. I don't need another one of those. What I do need is for there to be a sound blaster of this mold that comes with Buzzsaw, but that is a question for another day.
I'm sure it'll happen.
I sure hope so, because I like this mold well enough. I definitely want to have the second or fourth and final copy, depending on how you want to look at that. But yeah, Soundwave is great. I'm glad I got it. I'm amazed I got it. Only issue that I have is that the lateral movement on the shoulder joints is incredibly tight, and that is a pinned piece. So that's Ooh. Just yeah, kind of worrying for the long term. I hope, as difficult as it seems to be to get, that is not a problem in the future. But yeah, it's otherwise really nice.
Well, the main thing, Rob, is like a lot of sound waves you can fudge making into a cassette deck. Can you take this sound wave and fudge it into a Cybertronian car?
Or a ship or whatever?
I have not tried to make it into a kind of rectangle other than the kind it wants me to make it into.
How is lamppost mode?
Haven't tried that either, but I think work.
I was going to say, I think they removed some of the stuff that's necessary for the lamppost mode to work as intended. But, like, you know, if you just want to have Soundwave with his arms in a T-pose, I see no reason why it couldn't.
Yeah, it'll do that. It'll probably get as close as the original toy did. The knees don't actually bend forward the way that G1 Soundwave and I'm pretty sure Siege did too, just to make that slightly angled lamppost. They don't do that anymore, so there's probably only so close you can get. But yeah, it's a good sound wave. I'm happy with that. I also got my brother, last time he was out shopping, brought me back a full set of those world's smallest figures from Dollar Tree. So I only opened the Starscream out of those so far, but for as tiny as they are, it's a fairly nice little sculpt, and it looks good, and I'm gonna have to open the rest of those soon. But yeah, that was really nice. And off topic, as a Christmas gift, Misty on Twitter sent me the last two volumes of Captain Harlock. So I have got a lot of really gorgeous panels of instrument panels to look at for a while here. Because whatever else you may think of Leiji Matsumoto's artwork, and it's worth mentioning that the artist on all the Transformers manga actually started out as an assistant for Matsumoto, and in some of the tech details in that manga, it really does show. But whatever else you may think of Matsumoto, drew some absolutely gorgeous instrument panels, just a very, very sparse white on black detail, and just the ability to create just space and area with just these dimly lit dials and lights in a you know, all black panel is just very striking and just a gorgeous effect. So the rest of it is a 50-year-old manga. It definitely has a point of view about things, and I'm kind of mulling that over. But yeah, it's fun to read at least, and yeah, just some of those gorgeous backgrounds I think I've ever seen in my life.
Is the point of view better or worse than some of the point of views from that Tomino interview from around the time Zeta Gundam was being planned?
Oh, I'd say better.
Those are some points of view.
I would say better than those. And did you read the series proposal for Zeta Gundam I dug up a while back?
Yeah, I believe that's what I'm referring to, actually.
Yeah, those are definitely some points of view. Yeah, it's better than that.
Those are some points of view. Wow.
Yeah, significantly better than that. So, yeah, but it's an interesting read, and I'm enjoying it, and I really appreciate it. So thank you, Misty.
That it?
Yep, that's it.
John, you got anything to wrap us up with?
Yeah, I actually have a pretty big backlog all of a sudden of unopened toys, thanks to Hasbro's accountants saying, let's ship, boys. We've got 10 days left to get this on the books. So so I've got a fair amount of that. And I just got Spin Out and Cordon to like today, and that's in the pile. But what I did have a chance to open in the last week or so were three, count them, three Megatrons. And they are all good. I think some of them are great. So I got G2 Megatron, which everybody is raving about. And yeah, his deco is the difference. So I did actually go ahead and get an Earthrise Megatron to customize and just kind of mess with to kind of give him different paint decos and slightly, and, you know, make his sides red and just mess with him. And he is nowhere near the level of G2 Megatron. It's all in the deco. The deco is fantastic, and it justifies the mold. Otherwise, it's just a ho-hum incremental change from Siege Megatron. So I got him. He's great. I got Hades Megatron. So I cannot honestly remember if I had this mold before, but I have it now. I did not collect Prime in any kind of like aggressive way. So I only had select figures here and there, but he's nice. I mean, the chrome is interesting. He has, you know, chrome shoulder pads and a chrome chest and a chrome.
That was a choice.
Effectively a chrome face. You know, let me look real quick at his face.
Yeah. So for reference, for anybody who's not immediately familiar, Hades Megatron is one of the Arms Micron versions of Voyager Transformers Prime Megatron, and mm-hmm. that's why it actually had the chrome, because it was the second or third release of that, so they were trying to differentiate it in addition to the new Arms Micron Hades that it came with.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, indeed. So yeah, he has fully chromed shoulder pads, chest, and it gives the effect that his entire head is chrome, although it's just the helmet. Like his face is a silver paint, but it doesn't matter because it's just surrounded by chrome, so the effect is the same thing. He's nice. He's you know, he's Transformers Prime Megatron, which I've always appreciated. Just about every Transformers Prime character design, I really like how they kind of split down the middle between mostly G1 and mostly movie, but a lot of other influences. And I particularly do like Megatron. He's a really kind of nice distilled version of the movie design into something that's a little bit more relatable, I guess. Has a little bit more character, and it's not just like, you know, sharp edges. So I do like him. The chrome, yeah, you know, it is what it is. When I opened it out of the box, mine already had kind of what looked like our brush strokes in the chrome, some imperfections and stuff in the chrome right out of the box. It's gonna happen. It's chrome. But I do like him, and I appreciate what he is. And I also have the two pack to open, but they are a bargain, that two pack, and I'm looking forward to opening them. The last thing I got was Super Megatron. So Super Megatron is he is very impressive. I do really like him. He definitely doesn't feel at all repetitive if you have Titans Return Galvatron. But you know, he's very distinct. Great head sculpt, both ways. Both his head sculpts are very interesting. His kind of default Megatron, Super Megatron face sculpt is terrific. I did go in for one of the filler kits that are so popular these days on eBay. There's a kit to fill the different gaps and stuff, mostly in his arms and his back, that goes for under $20 these days on eBay. So it was a pretty good value. In fact, it had so many little bits and pieces to fill areas in the toy. I only used about half of them. Only about half of them were necessary when I got the kit out. But it is nice, you know, to kind of fill out the toy if you're into that sort of thing. And yeah, he's a good toy. So G2, Hades, and Super Megatron are all within a half inch height of each other. You know, they're all roughly kind of the same size. Prime Megatron certainly is a very kind of slim Megatron, and GG Megatron and Super Megatron are beefier. But getting these three takes on Megatron inside of a month or so, very interesting to kind of see, like, you know, all the places you can take this character, even when now we're just getting G1 Megatron over and over and over again. this was actually a good, quarter or a good year for Megatron. Certainly way more interesting than the G1 Optimus Prime iterations we're getting these days. So Megatron had a good run for sure this winter, and all three of these are really cool toys.
I found myself going back and messing with Super Megatron, like, more than anything else I've gotten in the last couple of weeks, just because, like, there's so much you can do with him because of, like, the multi modes that it has. You know, there's all kinds of different ways to configure it, just like as middle states of the, like, three official modes that it has. And it's a really engaging toy. I'm so happy with this, and it's been just fun to have as, like, a fiddle toy at my desk or a side table for the last little while here.
Yeah, he's a great toy. And, you know, he's not, everybody knows he's not a perfect representation of Super Megatron's, like, anime model. You know, he's a compromise. Yeah. He's a reuse of Galvatron. But he gets the job done. So he really comes across as this unique kind of, you know, Japanese-influenced, different Megatron that isn't quite like all the other Megatrons on your shelf. So mission accomplished. You know, he's not a perfect representation of that model. He couldn't be, and he doesn't have to be. He's very much, like, effective in what he's trying to do.
Yeah, I think actually, like, the way that the design was revised and actually, you know, realized onto an actual physical object is better than what the original art looks like. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, having that volume 3 with the story pages in it, like, it's a good contrast to have that right next to the toy and see, like, yeah, what the toy is doing. Actually, it takes where this started and improves on it. You know, it makes it more detailed and more, like, fleshed out. I'm happy with the toy as it is, being, like, the modern representation of what Super Megatron is. Did you get anything else, John?
Nope, that's it. Take it away, XV.
Okay, well, that's going to be our show for this week. Let me go back to the show notes so I can read off all the things I need to read off. Of course, we want to thank our Touched patrons this week. If you would like to become a Touched patron or a patron at any tier, we appreciate everyone who helps to contribute back to the show. You can go to patreon.com/tfradio or tfradio.net/patreon. It all ends up going to the same place. So thanks to our Touched patrons, Kevin Dorsey, Peter Giannakopoulos, Sean Bratton, Jacob Owen Lutia, Jason W. Rye, Sean Hamilton, Mike Mallory, Jason Hiley, Jonathan James, Hector Bones, Nathan Sampy, Spider Bob, Rabbits, Emmett Stresovich, Gaming Fix, Joey Russell, Ryan Bona, and Ness. You can find a complete list of all of our Touch patrons at tfradio.net/credits anytime you want to check on that. You can find us, of course, on Twitter at TF Radio. We're on Facebook, probably also at TF Radio. I mean, just, you know, search Facebook for Radio Free Cybertron. I'm sure you'll find us there somewhere. We're all over the place, Instagram, YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. You know, the main place our stream goes out live every week. So be sure to subscribe and get notifications there for that so you don't miss the start of a show every week. We're also on, like, basically every platform that carries podcasts. I mean, you could probably, if you dug long enough, you could probably find one that we're not syndicated onto, but you could also probably find one or two that we're on and we didn't even know we were on. So, you know, it averages out, you know. Of course, show notes for this episode with links to everything we were talking about. You can find that at tfradio.net/705. If you would like to leave us a message, send a text, just reach out to us. You can do that through our voicemail line, 931-99-GOBOT, 931-994-6268. That does take voicemails and text messages. So any way you want to communicate with us, you'll be able to get a hold of us that way. So Brian is not here. He's on Twitter at bkilby. Also briankilby.com. He, the looming specter of his Christmas album still approaches. So, you know, look forward to that.
yes, it's not just entertainment. It's also a threat.
You know, they say that's the best kind of entertainment. The entertainment that makes you fear for your life.
Yes.
Diecast also was not here with us tonight. You can find him on Twitter at Diecast2. His reviews are at tfradio.net/reviews. And I think his Facebook is Reviews by Diecast. You know, for anybody who actually still uses Facebook anymore. Rob Springer is never here with us, but you can find him on Twitter at RoboRobSpringer or ZoneBase.org. Wait, what did you put in the chat, Rob?
Brian Kilby Threadertainment, LLC.
Well, that might end up being the show title. I'll make a note of that. I'll try to remember to do that after I finish reading off all this stuff. But yeah, go check out Rob's content. His website's got all kinds of, like, it's esoteric in the way that kind of clicks with my brain. So, like, you know, there's no telling what's going to be on there from a given day to the next, and that's kind of cool. So definitely go check out what he's working on. I can be found on Twitter personally at ChrisRTXV. Playwithphotography.com is where you can find my toy-related things, galleries and blog posts and, you know, toy photography-related articles, that kind of thing. For toy photos and content on social media, I'm at PlayWithPhotos on Twitter, or you can find me on Instagram at PlayWithPhotography. If you like the work I'm doing and want to show your support and help me do more of it, you can sign up to my Patreon at patreon.com/playwithphotos for as little as $2 per month. The $2 will get you early access to new galleries when they go up, and for $5 or higher, you can be credited on galleries produced going forward from when you sign on. Rob, how do people get a hold of you?
Okay, on Twitter, they can get a hold of me at figureviewers or Rob Flails. Rob Flails is mostly where I talk about video games and specifically Gundam Battle Operation 2 for the PlayStation 4, which is what I cover on Flailthroughs, my YouTube channel. Big update for that coming this week. They're going to add some new scenarios for the single player mode. They're going to probably start the most significant part of the Christmas event. Looks like we're getting the extraordinarily superior Gundam this week, which, unlike the Double Zeta, is actually going to transform and actually has its beam smart gun with reflectors fully functional from what they've been showing us.
That sounds really overpowered.
Probably. But that's okay, because given some leaks we've gotten this last week, it looks like we're going to be into Char's counterattack by March, so it's not going to be overpowered for long.
Are they going to release Axis as a playable unit that you can just repeatedly drop on the Earth?
That would be great.
Or a fifth Luna?
That would be great. But yeah, youtube.com/flailthroughs if you want to check out that game. If you like what I do there, patreon.com/flailthroughs. Throw me a couple of bucks and you can request specific rounds, mobile suits, weapon combinations, colors, what have you. Patrons also get to see the thumbnails for every video, which I've started uploading once a week just because I had a couple of people ask me for it and it seemed like a good thing to do for patrons. So cool. If you want to see that, yeah, if you want to see that, all patrons get to see those posts. So, you know, come check it out. If you just feel like throwing me a thing, there is tfradio.net/claylist and, you know, various other manga and toys and what have you on there if you feel like it. And thank you to everybody who has felt like it lately.
I'll also throw out there tfradio.net/diecastlist if you want to do the same for Diecast, who is not with us this week.
Yes.
John DeLuna, where are you everywhere?
Oh, I am that John D. Everywhere.
Everywhere. Mm-hmm. And finally, Don, where are you?
I can be reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4, EVR.
tfradio.net/messyattack if you want to get Don a nice thing. Or possibly alcohol. Things. Yeah, whatever. Or
alcohol, Band-Aids. The
yeah, when he says alcohol, he means the disinfecting kind of alcohol, not the fun-to-drink alcohol.
Man.
Luckily, the last Massey is not being an attack cat mode. I think he's still getting used to the new dynamics that we have. Never mind.
Oh.
Why are you biting me?
Okay, well. See, that's the thing, Don. You say that in earshot of the cat, and the cat is going to just, like, for principle, if nothing else, prove you wrong.
Well, he was busy looking out the window at cat things, and I didn't think he would hear.
Cat's always here.
Well, it's like, he looks out the window and he does this and he looks up, looks around. It's like, there's nothing there. I don't know what he's seeing. There's stuff only he can see, apparently,
Yes.
So cat things.
Uh-huh. you probably are right that Massey's behavior has been a little bit different lately because of your girlfriend moving in and just things in his household not being what he's used to. And
it's
the fullness of time, he will be back to mauling you to bloody pulp.
Well, the main thing is it's the random peeing on stuff.
Yes, he's doing that because he's annoyed.
Yes, I know. It's like he can be perfectly happy laying on the bed and we don't touch him. He just snoozes. He'll get up. He'll walk in the bathroom and pee on the bath mat. And we can't make a correlation onto what's causing it. So it's like everything is based on will he pee on it?
Life of the cat to me.
Yes. We didn't put out some of the Christmas decorations, including a pillow that I still have that my mom actually knitted, stitched and embroidered. Because it's like, the default question, do we have room for it? And will he pee on it?
Yeah.
So that's living with a cat,
Tune back in next week for the next exciting installment of Will Massey Pee on It? We'll see you next week, everybody.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Jeez, what are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?